Ladies and gentlemen, we are here for a maximum 1 hour conversation about teaching contemporary dance. Today, that means teaching contemporary dance to people who will dance tomorrow. That is the problem. And as art of dance, as a technical problem, as a performative problem, as a aesthetic problem, as a theater, as a commercial, cultural problem, is in change. I think it's in always constant change, but today it's a very critical, very climacteric transition time. So when we teach the past, then very easily we give an obstacle to the future. And when we think that we know the future, we are lying, because nobody knows the future. You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows. And it's really a question what we do. And we are interested in your answers. I don't think you have one answer. Nobody has, maybe. But there are answers to this problem. You are teaching successful classes here, and maybe other places too. Yes. What you teach, what do you think it is what you should teach?
So, what I teach basically an improvisation class, but let's say that we use in the class improvisation as a tool to develop technical skill. So it's not any work on improvisation as such. And
work on improvisation as a research technique, as a performance technique, as a self-therapy technique.
Let's say
improvisation.
Yeah, I use improvisation to develop some technical skills, but let's say that the areas in which I generally or mainly move are body awareness. So let's say that through the improvisation I want to improve body awareness. Then also another area where I move is to, let's say, undo habit. So how to discover or explore other patterns of movement beside the one we already know. And then the last is the, let's say, the area of the performative qualities. Mm-hmm. And let's say that generally what I try to do, I try those three areas to work all the time together and for each other as well. So I don't separate. I mean, sometimes I do, but let's say that generally I always try to make one of those areas work for the other. Yeah. I mean, that's what I teach to my students today. But, regarding your question about future, yeah, as you say, no one knows the future, but if I would give enough time to it, I see that the more we go on, the more the market it goes fast in changement. So it's, if you think about smartphone or things like this, for me dance is kind of similar nowadays. So that every year, even less than a year, there is a new product which has something better or fancier or more innovative. Therefore, what I would advise to my students as well, what I advise to myself as a teacher, is to practice ductility. No, how do you say when you change fast, when you versatility. Yes. So, which I think it's one of the most important quality right now. I mean, I guess for the future. I mean, not for the really far future, but for the close future. Because, yeah, it's not like before there were these big technique like Ram, Limon, and Candingham that then you were studying and you do, but yeah.
This is the question.
Yeah, that
not those big techniques, but
yeah, that it's like there are, let's say, what I try to work on it. I work on principles that they can be applied to different technique or style. Like, I don't know, if you think about awareness of the body, it's not a technique. It's just like something that you can do it when you are cleaning your house, when you are dancing in a party, or when you are running in a park, and eventually in different dance classes. So, or perform.
Are dance classes better than running in a park to work on qualities?
But well, definitely yes. I mean, definitely yes. So I don't know if I really answered to your question, but
no, you don't have to answer. Right, my question. The question is just to know more about your approaches, how you think about that. I always have a kind of discussion with almost everybody that I try to find a good harmony of set and research work very shortly like this, and I see very much that almost everybody goes towards research work and work on qualities and work on body awareness and work on performing qualities, what you told the three main avoid patterns, and maybe techniques, modern techniques and older techniques build patterns that can be the common characteristic of all those from ballet to folk and Graham and Limon and etc. and Bartanacham and dancing, that they are building patterns, very useful, beautiful patterns, what you can realize only through body awareness qualities. And my problem is, if we can teach dancers without patterns but just qualities. And I think you are not alone with this, but all the teachers of your generation tend very much to this. And you all have learned a lot of technique, but don't teach technique.
I mean, I feel in a way I'm teaching technique. I mean, I think in a way to...
Are you building patterns?
I'm trying to not, but it's not that... So technique, as I relate it to the word, for me, technique is like an instrument, like the word itself, like it has techne, this like Greek root, which is instrument. So, an instrument, like, of course, if you study ballet, it's a technique because it allows you to be on one leg in relevé and without falling. So, it's an instrument that you are able, that you can use or not, according to what you want to do. Then, of course, has all the technique, it has the positive effect and the negative effect, which sometimes we don't use the technique in order to do something, but sometimes we are used by that technique. So, for example, as you say, like Graham, Limon, Candingham, and all those techniques, they can really mark our body with certain patterns, which at the end it's hard to give it up. But in a way, like, even if I work with improvisation, I think that the work I do, it's not the work on improvisation as such, but I use the improvisation to develop technique, to develop instruments. So we are still speaking about instruments, like, I don't know, out of balance, or let's say really separation of different of body movement, and yeah, there are like different or use of the body weight,
out of separation of what?
It's like I do a work on let's say, yes, isolation. Then I often work with the spine, of the awareness of the spine and how spine can actually produce movement. I would not say that. It's basically what I try to push. It's a communication in between, like, the floor, the spine, and the limbs. So I try to not push, not develop, not to let's say study, like, the communication in between the floor and spine and limbs, and vice versa, limbs, spine, and floor, which I find it really technical as well. So it's not like, yeah, that you move freely and you're improvising, but you really concentrate on a technical tools, which is an instrument, because then I feel that even if you go in ballet class, you can apply those study for another technique, because it's, you're studying a principles, let's say, you're not studying a shape. So that's it.
No, the teachers always emphasize that these are only the shapes, this is only the outskirts of the movement. To do that, you have to know the principles. Mm. All good teachers say that. But they give patterns to practice.
Yeah.
And if you are realizing the right attitude, then you can stand on your balance. If you don't, then you cannot. When I started dancing, this was my main motivation, that this is something where you are fast, you fall.
Mm-hmm.
When you are right, you stay, you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can ride immediately, feel if you are on the wrong way or if you are on the bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's somehow true until tomorrow, maybe.
But for me,
but my problem is,
yeah,
that when I have only the qualities, I don't have any proof that what I did is right. Because the things happen inside. And there is no proof, there is there is nothing to tell me and tell the people who watches me that yes, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have that quality. Do you feel? Yes, I feel. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel much better. I don't believe that. I believe, and people, yeah, okay. So, how do you? What are you watching when you are watching this improvisation work?
Basically the process that the students go through. Yeah, basically, how do they approach what I propose? What do they discover? How do they discover? How do? Yeah, because for me in general, I don't approach, or let's say, I try to not. Let's put it this way: I try to not approach it in terms of right or wrong, or good or bad, because let's say that if you, it's not as clear as, for example, in ballet. It's like that if you are in balance, or if you do a pirouette, then it's good, and if you cannot make it, it's wrong. Because sometimes what I see through the students is that it's basically what I think is wrong, that it's thanks to that that then they develop those technical tools that I'm trying to give them. So I don't know if it's clear.
It's clear. I don't really think so. But
like, for example, today we were working on this, like observing our habitual pattern. So you could dance as you want. The only thing is that you should constantly observe, for example, just to give an example, the direction of your movement before that movement happened. So in this case, sometimes, you know, it's not about if you're doing it right or wrong, because it's a personal work you do with yourself. But let's say when then I ask you to not do those habitual patterns, then I can see if you're doing those habitual patterns of yourself or not. So I can see if you, before you were working it right, in bracket, or wrong. You see what I mean? I see the result of something and not the thing itself. You know what I mean? Like if I'm dancing and I'm moving all the time, let's say symmetrical and soft, let's say. And I'm like, okay, just observe the way in which you move. And then I don't see whether you are observing it good or not. I just see that you are dancing. And maybe I see that there is a specific awareness, but it's not like that clear, like a pirouette or a balance. And then I'm like, the next day I go, okay, now keep in mind those habitual patterns you have. Now move as you want, but not do these habitual patterns. Then, if that person is still moving symmetrical and soft, I'm like, okay, that's wrong. But it's not, I try to not say to myself wrong, but I'm just saying that the process in which he's going in, he didn't arrive yet where I wanted to bring it. That's the... So... Because
is that wrong that the student or the audience or you can see if it's right or wrong?
The audience, for example, I don't know, because it's like, you know, when we are speaking about art, we're not speaking really about right or wrong. We're speaking about like
when I go to the theater and I like that thing.
The dancer, yeah.
Yeah, I see that dances well.
Is, yes.
I like how she's dancing.
Yeah, it's but a big question.
Okay, the audition. But when you as a teacher or she as a dancer must know, I think, if I am on the right way or not. It was always a big problem for me if I am on the right way or not. And I tried to ask it from teachers, and they never could tell me. But there were teachers who never wanted or never felt that it's a right question from a student. But but yeah. I think it's good when I'm in a context where the tasks, where the atmosphere is leading me. That's why I go there.
Yeah.
I need that security, I need that safety, I need that. That is what encourages me to certain directions and says no to other directions. So I think that it is very good for me as a student, as a dancer, if the task itself says if I am on a right way or not.
Yeah.
I can be on a bad way. Why not? I can work against me. I can overwork the problem, I can underwork the problem, and the teacher is there to make that. I don't think you have to tell that, okay, this is good, 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 that is wrong. maybe it is one instrument of the teacher that you show me that, look that, not. It's bad for the one who does it, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe they trust me and say, oh, you didn't think like that, I thought it was that, what should I do? And I can tell. Try this way.
Mm-hmm.
This is my problem very often with this internal body awareness work, that I always feel, and this is a question, if you have this problem or not, maybe you don't have it at all, or you as a student if had this problem, that
about
you didn't feel secure.
About you mean about being right or wrong? Or
not just right or wrong, but understanding
if you were in the good direction.
The focus of the teacher, well, going on the right way. Because nobody doubts your experiences. While we were improvising on certain qualities, I got a lot of experience. Probably I did. But if this is what you suggested me, and if I have a common language with the next student to me, because I always feel this except the really good classes, I feel this loneliness. I feel myself let lonely, and I never feel that when I go to see a folk class. Of course, I am struggling alone to try to realize the right rhythm, to find a good impulse, how I can do that. I am working with my body and struggling alone to try to find the good balance, the good turn, the good spiral, the good direction, which feels comfortable, which feels easy. So I don't speak at all about copying something, which we agree that that's a dead end street, copying everything. But still, to find some measurements, to find some steps.
I think for me, if I can interrupt you,
yes,
the measurement I have when I'm taking classes, it's again the personal process I'm doing. So, and that's why I'm not, but this, I arrived to this point because in fact I tend to be pretty maniac, I'm pretty perfectionist, so I tend to be really like, I have to do it right, god damn, I have to do it right. And then I realized that this approach, it was not working for me, and it was much more working when I was saying, you know what, it doesn't matter, the experience of doing it, it will act on my background anyway, so I just do it. And that in this way I saw that I was improving more. And by improving, yeah, also here, what does it mean to get better? It's just like I saw that the instrument or the creativity or the tools I had, they were much more than before. So, and that for me was a parameter of, okay, I'm getting better. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily dancing better, but it means I can do more things than what I could do before. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and when you say about this loneliness, yeah, I think there is definitely in the class that I teach, or in most of the new class, there is this loneliness, because there is not this clear parameter about whether you are right or wrong, or whether you are doing good, but it's more a personal exploration. So you are exploring and you are practicing things, and it's you are kind of lonely with that, because you are the judge,
I speak about this feeling that yes, I am lonely on my route. I'm not depending on your opinion, okay? It will not be good because you say that, okay, this is right. No.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to feel that I'm on the right way.
Yeah.
And if your map, let's say that this is an excursion where I go alone, if my map is good, I need a map.
Yeah.
Or I can just wander, and I will know that the forest is beautiful, but I cannot go anywhere.
But that's a good example, I think. Because it's like, let's say that my approach is not that. I mean, of course I have certain goals, but I think it's that I try to approach it not in a way that, okay, that's the map, I want to arrive here. But I'm like, okay, that's the map, the most you can see, the better it is for everyone. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter if you arrive here, because also if you arrive here, it's also good, because anyway you will know about those things, you know what I mean?
Yes. Absolutely.
So it's a
I do agree that this is an important thing, that there is one important way that that I can lead you to, or I can help you to find ways. Mm. But when I'm just going up and down and not finding my clear way, and think that our students are always independently of their age, they are students because they need. They feel, they say that we need guidance.
Yeah.
We need help.
Yeah.
I'm here because I need help. I came to learn.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
And very often I find that that I get inspiration, I get interesting ideas, I get inspiration and ideas. But I don't get guidance. And it is definitely difficult, because if I get a guidance, that will be the teacher's route. And okay, I know that this is not what we need. If someone comes and says that, okay, this is my style, this is my... Okay, maybe we like that and we learn this interest, and we learned of that. But we don't speak about that, because I see very much, and I think we maybe agree in this. Maybe not. That a good balance of pattern, let's remain with our words, what we use today, with dance languages which are based on learning certain patterns. That is one of the parts, one part of the curriculum in a school, and the other is, let's say, the research work. And there are teachers who say that we don't need any patterns. What do you think? What do you feel?
I think patterns are useful till you can use them and not being used by like everything, I guess.
But if it's a yoga or a capoeira or tai chi pattern, you are not afraid of that. That's a pattern.
I'm afraid as much as other
Are
patterns.
You?
Yeah, sure. Yes, it's not because of... I mean, let's say that, for example, if I think about gram and tai chi, I mean, I would go for tai chi just for the simple fact that gram can be quite unhealthy for the body. Can be. It's not necessarily. But it's not because it's a technique that it, you know, it's like, it's anyway an instrument you can use.
Actually, tai chi causes knee problems often.
Yeah? Isn't it supposed to make it better? Like, it's supposed to.
Yeah. That's the problem, that this is a good pattern, and if you have knee problems, then you should change on how you do that. So even if I did my tai chi exercise through decades alone, I always felt this guidance, I don't know.
But let's say, I understand what you say with this guidance, and I'm trying to, like, I mean, let's say that I try to approach it in a really like free way, open way, but I quite know what I want in a way, so I'm not letting students like just
I can even believe you, because you are a dancer yourself, and you told that you want to give them what you need yourself to.
So yeah, but it's also basically because I feel that if you're just like, if there is not, if the frame in which, if you don't give frame to the work you're doing, then of course you can always learn a lot, but I think that the bigger is the frame that you're working in, the easier is the tendency to do what you already know. You know what I mean?
Frame is more open.
Like,
you
for example,
do
if you are
what you used
yes,
to do.
Yes.
I do agree. That's my problem.
So
that's
the thing. And normally, let's say that the frame, when I work, when I teach improvisation, normally, not always, I used to shrink the frame,
that's
and I play in between. In between.
I do agree. That's the question. If this a frame can be a road. A road can be a round road. But very often I see that the words, which are basic in an improvisation based teaching, are very insecure tools of explaining really well the route, the way. So it's strange that these well, I don't know the name of this kind of techniques, but let's say research-based, or where you don't get a pattern, but you are encouraged to you find your own way to to resolve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
These are very often verbal based study programs. You explain what you should do.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Instead of showing.
Problem. But when you show, they will copy you.
Yeah.
So I understand why is it that like
yeah.
that.
But I do show sometimes. I mean, more than show, I do myself. Though I keep on reminding that they should not do like me. But I think it's
but
an
it
important fundamental.
They often do.
They often do, but they often... Yeah, they are also able to not.
Yes.
If I keep on reminding, it's also I think the way in which you show. If you show before to do it, then it's something. If meanwhile they are doing it, you just discreetly go in and have a little bit of fun, then yeah, they get inspiration, but they don't exactly do. They don't do an imitation. But I think it's yeah for me. It's a fundamental part not to do it, but when I was a student I could learn much more through watching than not through speaking, also because when I start studying in parts I didn't speak English. So
this is what happens here.
Yeah, but
I think say there are 20 people, 3 or 4 understand pretty well what a Norwegian, Italian or Hungarian guys says in English. And say other 10 understand something, and there are 4 or 5 or 10 people who understand verbally pretty few, even if you speak Hungarian, because they are non-verbal, they are dancers. They are dancers because they most of them are not very verbal in their way of being. This is a contradiction. What I see very much that the way how the teacher communicates to the student is not not strong enough, not guiding enough, not helping enough, because it's like when you hear something who is shouting from a mountain and you don't hear perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Which what I should do? What? Like the old man says his testimony and say it again, Papa. We don't understand it. I think it's a good idea what you think about.
What I find it really stimulating for me as a teacher and as a dancer, and for them as a student but as a dancer, it's like sometimes when I propose something, then they do, and then I ask them whether they have observation or question or things. And sometimes, I have to admit that sometimes it's I learn and they learn through speaking and not through dancing, because you know it's like it's immediately here if you didn't understand or if you wanted to just like share your experience of doing it. And so, and as well it avoids miscommunication, like you know if you didn't understand well and then you immediately see like what's
think that this verbal feedback in this system is necessary, it's important. Mm-hmm. What other feedback is there? You say something, they dance, they dance?
Then question, observation, and then I also do my question or observation. But then, of course, then I work. I have an idea of what I want to do, but then I also work on top of what I see and how do they react of what I propose.
Very often we spoke about teachers who come and touch us or don't touch, who give personal notes or not. Never. What is your practice?
Depends. I have no problem with touching because sometimes we work of we do partnering work, so you have to touch. But I'm not I don't like to correct with a touch. Like because I find that also there it's not a matter of doing something that is right, but it's about not to do something that is wrong. So if I correct with the touch, I'm actually doing wrong stuff. You see what I mean?
Like I understand. I know this approach.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm not that kind of teacher. Touch. It's not absolutely possible because of blah blah blah. Or
not because of the personality rights, but as a pedagogic. Method. You don't correct with the touch.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't really do it.
And do you give personal
yes.
feedback?
Yes.
Let's say no correction.
Yes. Yeah. I do. Little bit, but I do. I mean, generally I give general information. But I do, especially if the personal feedback is good to know for the whole group.
Because anyway, you ask something, you tell me something, and I try to do that. So I have to know if I did what you wanted or not.
But it's not that easy. But it's not that easy. It's like I propose you something
and I do something
and you see how that proposition what that proposition produces in you. It's not that you are trying to do that.
You see that as a teacher. I don't see that as a student.
I mean, that's what I'm encouraging. That's how I'm encouraging my students to work. But it's not about I ask you to do this, you do this.
No. Okay, not on that way. There are 20 people who understand on 20 ways what you have told.
Of course, of course, yeah.
And somehow they need 20 answers, 20 feedbacks. And well, it is very primitive, and you have to do it like that. If the class is together 20 times, then it's right. Then they know that they do it well. Or when they can do the three pirouettes, and when they start together and they don't fall, then they know that it's right. Okay, we don't do this kind of class, I understand. But how do I know if I went to the direction, if I understood well your proposition? Sometimes you tell me that, why don't I come to have a coffee with you, and I understand to meet in the buffet and you salt in the pastrami, and we don't understand each other. And these are very...
I think what I do is like, okay, I propose something and then I see what it produces, if it after a while is not producing any different that had the way which you were moving or doing before. Mm-hmm. Then I go to you and I ask you, mm-hmm. what do you think? And
out of class?
No. In the class. You know? Or I give suggestions, like, maybe it could be good if you try this, or it could be good if you try that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see that something is producing in you, mm-hmm. because sometimes what it produces to people, the proposition that I did, is totally different than what I imagined, but it's even better. So that then in that case I'm like, okay, maybe we will speak about it, and we will, but I don't say anything because he's producing something. If I know that I can see that he's learning or going
something.
Through something.
Maybe not exactly what you wanted, but learning mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, but maybe it's related to what I wanted, but in the personal, you know.
Because this kind of approach allows me a very big openness. I propose you something, and if anything happens, it's good. If you remain in your old patterns, then I try to move you out from that. I suggest you this, why don't you try that?
Yeah, but it depends, because sometimes the frame is much more shrink. So sometimes it's much more clear. Yeah, it depends. It can variate quite a lot. But let's say generally the frame I use, they are pretty shrink. So it's not
and
like...
When you were teaching, when we started working together, you had also... short combinations, you were teaching a set material.
Yeah, I had a period of set material because I saw that when we were playing in the afternoon with a small group, I saw that they were pretty slow in learning material. And I'm like, oh no, but that's something that you should know, because if someone asks you, then you should. And then I teach the set material because I think it's an important tool.
Because
to
I
know.
Saw that it was very efficient when you really taught that this is a material, that one, you should learn it quickly. It means understand it better, understand from inside, understand the essence, use qualities of understanding movement, and then you can learn easily. You should move in silence. When we met first, you told about one of your notes was that you could move in much more silent, you know, much more silent
they
way.
Could,
they,
yeah.
they should move, and there was also to move quickly, not to learn, but move
faster. I don't remember that.
Maybe not that. Maybe these were the two things. To learn faster.
To learn movement material faster.
And move.
Be
more
silent.
More silently.
And also they had, for me, in the beginning when I saw them, I mean, I'm saying a big general tendency, is that there is a high energy which is often not really good direct. So it's also like how to know how much energy do you need for what. Like, because sometimes it's, but this is what the thing that for me was really charming, but then at the same time was also, it could have been at that time a limit for them to have like that much energy and not being able to direct the.
You can do something with less energy when you have a huge, tremendous practice.
Yeah, yeah, but
you,
not
you
less
can
energy.
Cut,
yeah.
Cut trees.
Yeah, yeah. Not
I cut trees and I am dead in half an hour. Well, I'm not because I can cut trees, but someone can lose energy while doing, and the other can feel better. And
yeah, yeah. But it's not just about using less energy. So it's about directing, you know what I mean, like
directing the few energy to the right place.
Yeah. No, but you can use, when you dance, you can also use more energy than you need if you want to do something that is like more energy than what you need. It's not. I mean, I know that I have this postmodern myth about efficiency of the body and economy of the movement, blah blah blah, but dance is not just postmodern technique, so it's, you can do also like movement that they require,
you
that you lift your arm, but you don't lift your arm like with the light, but like if you, I think it's that, how to direct, like
use different dynamics.
So.
In postmodern myths, it's a very good expression, I think. We always think that we have to move relaxed and with few energy and economically and with the less energy possible.
Which I think it's a tool, but
it's,
can
it's one of the
it's one of the tools. Yeah. Yeah. I've been trapped by that tool, really, like symmetry or anatomically correct, like, you know, I've been. Because I was so much fascinated by it that I've been for a long time like trapped by those patterns of symmetry, anatomically correct, and efficiency of movement, or even word, like, you know, it's like organic. It's like, what does it mean, movement organic? You know, it's like, can a movement be not organic or dead?
Yeah.
I mean, we know what are we speaking about when we say this movement is organic and is not, but then at the same time it's like, it's a myth.
No,
or like,
the mythos of,
what's like
of
spontaneous, is what's
yeah.
spontaneous and
yeah.
what's not.
And
it's
ancient,
like, it's
and instinctive.
Yeah, instinctive
right.
or, you know, like,
research.
I mean, but we know what are we speaking about, it's just
no,
terms
no, but
that
they are
we used to.
And then they were all around.
Yeah.
They seemed obligatory.
Yeah, yeah.
While they are possible.
Possibility.
Possibility.
Yeah.
And my problem is very often that they get a lot of these mythos and get very few. And I would love to have other alternatives in postmodern dance. And I don't find it.
Alternative
because
in postmodern dance?
those other alternatives. Because you sign very clearly this postmodern branch of qualities, which is such a branch than the ballet quality branch or the Graham like movement.
Yeah.
And that is only one fashion, one trend.
Yeah.
And I really don't like when, okay, that's my problem, but I'm looking for that approach where not all the techniques can give patterns and unproved new tries can give research work. But you have some security, and I think dance is especially good for that. So dance is something where you So maybe if I am in cosmology or astronauts, I can hardly try what I think. I try and it costs milliards of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And it falls down and, okay, my idea was wrong. My calculation was wrong. And in dance, I think, okay, I try something and I see that this is a good calculation, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I can try to encourage you or other people to find this way between not old time techniques, traditional techniques and modern techniques or postmodern or postmodern techniques, but to find the bridge over this gap, what we have between set and improvised. Yeah. And I think there is something what we don't see, and I think that is the what we should a better cooperation. It seems traditional technique teachers saying that this is just something you it's release and improvisation is unnecessary. They will never learn to dance mm-hmm. of that. And mm-hmm. you think that all these old teachers come and they teach these patterns and they never will be free and they will be limited by all these patterns and they should.
No, I'm not that extreme, but I know,
maybe
what,
not,
you,
but
I know what you mean.
No. Some are really extreme, and I know extreme people from both sides. That they should not have any ballet. And somehow I agree everybody that it is not a good split. There should be something, not in between, but over.
I don't know. I don't really see the necessity of a bridge. Like,
no.
Because for me, as I live dance, there is always a bridge in between things. Like, I don't know. I think when I'm taking a ballet class, I'm improvising. I think I'm improvising now that I'm speaking with you. So it's... because even if you do movement, you know, whenever you do it, you are just doing it at that moment. And vice versa, when you improvise, as much explorative you can be, your brain is... You are doing something that your brain is registering, so in a way... You always do things you know, it's not that I'm throwing you out of the fifth floor and you don't know what's going to happen when you land. You are dancing and you are directing your brain into something. So I don't see the personal need of finding a bridge, really. But I see what you mean, and between those two.
As a dancer, I understand you. You have these safe points, and you can link these approaches. The question is for the student who does not have.
Yeah. But also, I guess it's because it's different when you have like class where they teach you set material, and it's like super strict. And then you have class where you have improvisation, where the frame is like super large.
Mm-hmm.
Then there it creates more when you have instead like people that they teach you set material, but it's like, it's more like in terms of not shape, but it's more like in terms of energy or process, blah, blah, blah. And then you have a person that teach improvisation and the frame is really short. Then I think it's more closer. I think it's this in Gaudi I can see.
I do think that
I can see
that close, and I think
but
this
I
is
see
what
that in Gaudi here you have.
Well.
What?
I think we do it relatively well. Before in this school it was very often that some people like this and others like that.
Yeah.
And
but
they wanted
you
to do come only to these classes. And here it's a strong feedback from students that they see that both is necessary and both is good for them.
But still, I think, like, for example, if I think about, like, Adrienne's work or things like this, like, she works in improvisation in a pretty extreme way. Like, the frames she used there, pretty wild, which I think...
Wild?
Wild.
Wild.
Wild. Wild.
Wild. Wild is strict.
No. Wild.
I am
wild.
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 Yes.
Yes.
Silas.
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
I think, I mean, for my experience with Adrian, for my experience, and I think that of course can be quite in contrast with folk dance, where, you know, it's really about doing those steps and those things. In that sense, yeah, I could, if I would, yeah, in that sense, of course, you could need a bridge.
I actually don't agree. I think Adrienne's improvisation work is extremely strict. She defines very strictly what she wants to see, and she has a lot of limitations. I think it's a good thing, so it's not negative mm-hmm. for me. But I think it's a very focused. Work, but you work with her. I don't know. Maybe, maybe from inside you had not this limitation. Okay. What are your plans for teaching? What do you want to teach?
You mean tomorrow?
No,
tomorrow.
In the future?
Yeah. Tomorrow is the future.
In the future, like I just was thinking about, like, where do they come from, the things I teach, and what I would love is that the more I go on, the less I use things that they come from other people. You know what I mean? Like, normally when I teach, I use tools that I've learned from someone else, but not as they mm-hmm. teach, but I use it in my own way, for my own purpose.
Yeah. And to have more
but
and
I
more
see that the more I go on, and the more I don't want to use those, even if I think they are really, really useful. Like, but this then, it's different, because if I'm with a class beginners, then I use tools that I've learned, because I know that even if it's not super triggering my fantasy, because I know that they are useful, so that then I do it. But then the more I go on, and the more the students are, like, let's say, on a certain level, the more I try to not do things that someone else did, even if it's in a different way, but I try to
mm-hmm.
because, and I try to see what I really, what me as a dancer can give of, let's say, exceptional.
And do you have an idea what are you exceptional?
I'm making my way through. I think I would love to. I'm making my way through. So it's I think it's also different of context and country, and because, you know, what it can be exceptional here, it can totally be not exceptional in Brussels, or vice versa. You know, if I would go and teach in Brussels folk dance, that would be quite exceptional. So, but that, yeah, then it would be nice if it can be quite exceptional wherever you go. That would be really good.
Okay. You have to go. You have to rehearse.
Yeah, no, I have to eat first and then I have to go. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.